counselors. Next week, as Bethany said during announcements, is going to be our family code of honor. You want to be here next week. Family code of honor, bring your kids, because first grade all the way up through high school will be in the sanctuary Saturday night and Sunday. So bring your kids, bring the neighbor kids, bring your grandkids, bring your nieces and nephews, because what we're going to learn about, we're going to learn about a family code of honor that will help instill some great values into your children and into you, too. And this was something we learned 20-plus years ago at the second building. And we had a great man of God come in and teach, and this was something you're going to get 1 through 10, a family code of honor, kind of like your Ten Commandments. We had it under a magnet on our fridge for years when our girls were little, all three of our daughters. My oldest daughter, Grace, turned 30 yesterday. I'm having a problem. When I turn 50, no problem. Daughter turns 30, I'm having an existential crisis here. Something going on up here. But when my girls were little, it really taught them and learned, these are our values. This is who we are. This is the way we treat each other as Christians. Very, very important. So you'll want to be here next week and have the kids here as well. As Pastor Doug said, his parents are here. Where's Pastor Gary and Pam? Where are they at? Right over here. Let's give them a big hand. Awesome, awesome people. I've known them, I think, since Jesus walked the earth, huh, Pastor Gary? Pastor Gary was my regional director for many years, just a great, great friend, been a big support, both he and Pam, a support to our church, a blessing to our church. He helped us walk through some real minefields 8-9 years ago, and he's just a tremendous blessing. So blessed that you're here with us here today. And Pastor Doug's wife, Erin, is teaching in twos and threes. Today's her birthday. So make sure when you see her after church, wish her a happy birthday. And then one last thing. Mr. Jim Pack's back here in the sound booth, and his wife Linda's right over here. It's their 40th wedding anniversary today. Woo! Woo! Linda, how did you do it? How? I mean, this guy, really? 40 years. We both married up, Brother Jim, didn't we? That's a fact. All right, a textual message. Today's a text message. I don't usually do these. With me, you're all over your Bible. You're flipping the pages and everything. One verse, and then we go. You ready? Here we go. Perseverance is the title of the message. Philippians 4:13, very familiar passage of Scripture, says, I can. Everybody say, I can. You know, can't's a dirty four-letter word. You say can't, wash your mouth out with soap. We had a teacher at Montmorency, Mrs. Hunter. She would wash your mouth out with soap if you used a dirty word, a dirty four-letter word. Can't's a dirty four-letter word. Notice this is a three-letter word. It's a positive word. It's I can what? Do all things through who? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do all things through Jesus who gives us the strength to do the things that he has for us to do. Amen? That's so, so very important, is that you're rooted and you're grounded in Christ. We're talking about perseverance, and perseverance, the Webster's definition, is persistence in anything undertaken. That means you're going to see it all the way through. You're not going to do it halfway. You're not going to do it half-baked. You're going to do it all the way through. Persistence in anything undertaken. That means in your marriage. That means with your kids. That means in your schooling. That means in your job. That means if you're in a sporting event. That means if you're involved in youth group. That means whatever you're doing, you're going to see it through. Continued pursuit or prosecution of any business or enterprise begun. That means if you sign up for something, if you're involved in something, you need to see it through. You have to be persistent. You have to continue it, prosecute it, pursue it all the way through. And then to pursue steadily any design or course commenced, not to give over or abandon what is undertaken. What does that mean? You don't be a quitter. You don't be a quitter. Quitters never win, and winners never. Thank you. Quitter. Oh my gosh, quitters. Quitters drive me up the wall. Two things drive me up the wall. Quitters and line butters. You ever in line and you're waiting for the longest time and some guy just moseys up and tries to get, excuse me. That's when I call people out. Excuse me. Back of the line's there. Yeah. Don't be butting in front of the line in front of me. Don't be doing that. Now, if it's somebody that's maybe got some disability or something, there's grace and there's mercy. But if it's just some guy thinks he's going to come plopping up there, ain't happening. It just isn't. Okay, here's the Pastor Scott definition of perseverance. Stick-to-itiveness. Write that down in your notes. Stick, S-T-I-C-K, to, T-O, it, I-T, if, I-V-E, ness, N-E-S-S. That's how you spell anti-disestablishmentarianism. A-N-T-I-D-I-S-E-S-T-A-B-L-I-S-H-M-E-N-T-A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M. Anti-disestablishmentarianism. You break it down. Like that. Stick-to-itiveness. That means you stick to it. You see it through. Some of you were impressed. Others are looking it up on your phone right now. It was once said that patience and perseverance overcomes the greatest of difficulties. Being patient. I always say this in situations. The fruit of my human spirit is patience. The fruit of my human spirit is patience. Sometimes I say that to other people that I know. Sometimes I say the fruit of your human spirit is patience. I said that to somebody this past week. The fruit of your human spirit is patience. Then I also add this. If I'm in line and the clerk's apologizing because it's taking so long, I'll say it's okay. I'm patient. I'm a Cubs fan. 4-game lead. Okay, moving on. If you want to look at an American historical figure who embodies the word perseverance, let's go to this guy, Mr. Thomas Alva Edison, the dude that invented the light bulb. I love his quote, "I have not failed, I have just found 10,000 ways that doesn't work." Yeah, here it is, the light bulb. These are kind of going the ways of the buggy whip. There it is, the incandescent bulb. Hold on to it. Don't drop it. It'll break. Okay. It's a bulb. 100-watt bulb. Ooh, don't drop that. It's a 100-watt bulb. Edison basically invented the prototype of this. What we use to light our homes. Before that, it was candles or gas lamps. Open flame of some sort, you know? And what happens with flames? Starts fires. This came along, and I like some of the new bulbs. I don't like the curly-cue ones. I like the LEDs. Have you driven from, they're brighter, they use a lot less electricity. Have you driven from Rockford to Chicago on 90-94 there? They put in, on close to Rockford, I haven't seen it closer to Chicago, but from Rockford to Chicago, they put in all LED streetlights. And for about a 15-20 mile stretch, that road, I drove it like at 10, 11 o'clock at night one time, driving into Chicago. I turned my headlights off. You didn't need them. The road was so well lit by those LEDs, and I determined right then, every street light in America needs to be LED. Because how many times have you been out on dark streets and you can't see anything? And that street light's kind of hanging there, and it's full of bugs, and it doesn't really light anything. Well, LEDs are great. Aren't you glad Thomas Alva Edison stuck with it and invented the bulb? He didn't give up when his first efforts to find the filament, the piece of string, the thing in there that lights up when electricity hits it. He tried it time and time again, and it would fizzle. And he would take that string out or whatever filament he had in there, and he threw it out his window, and he did this for 13 months. Over and over and over again, till the pile reached up beside his house, throwing it out the window. Didn't Edison recycle? No. Then he sent men to China. He sent them to Japan. He sent them to South America, Asia, Jamaica, and Burma in search of fibers and grasses to be tested in the laboratory as that filament. He had to find something that could handle it. And on a day in October of 1879, as I said, after 13 months of repeated failure, he succeeded in his search for a filament that would stand the stress of electric current passing through it. And this is how it happened. He picked up a bit of lamp black. He mixed it with tar, rolled it into a thin thread. And he thought, why not try carbonized fiber? An idea came. And so for 5 hours he worked, but it broke. before he could remove the mold. They had a mold on it so that it would kind of harden, take it out and put it into the glass tube here, but it would break when he was taking the mold off. So he went through two spools of thread. How long is a thread on a spool? Anybody know? 1,000 yards? Seriously? 1,000 yards. So he went through two spools of thread. And the last one emerged intact after taking that cast off, only when it was to be ruined when he was trying to put it into the glass tube. It fell apart. Yet he refused to admit defeat. He continued without sleep for 2 days and nights. And finally, he managed to slip one of the carbonized threads into a vacuum-sealed tube like you see here behind me on the photograph, and he turned on the current. And there it was. Let there be electric light. And Edison said, quote, "The sight we had so long desired to see finally met our eyes." His, end of quote. His persistence, his perseverance amidst such discouraging odds have given us the wonderful electric light. I love the quote. "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." That's stick-to-itiveness. That is perseverance. And that perseverance paid off. It goes along with my Grandpa Porter used to tell me. He's from the hills of Virginia. And Grandpa Porter would say, "Well, Scott, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on." That meant don't ever quit. Never, ever quit. It reminds me of the verse we learned as a child. If at first you don't succeed, try again. "'Tis a lesson you should heed." I started in the wrong line. "'Tis a lesson you should heed. Try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Then your courage should appear. For if you will persevere, you will conquer. Never fear. Try again." What does that verse mean? Don't quit. Keep trying. Hang in there. The miracle that you need from God is right around the corner. The thing that you've been believing for so long is right outside your grasp. I've used as an illustration for years with the kids in children's church 30 years ago. I said it's like a kite. If you're flying a kite and you've got just lots of string off of your spool there, and that kite's up into the clouds, and somebody comes along and says, "What are you doing?" You say, "I'm flying a kite." And they look up and, "Hey, I don't see any kite. I just see string going in the air." It's there. I have a kite. And that's how it is many times when you believe God. You're believing God and you're not seeing the thing that you're believing for. But it's there. You got a hold of it by faith in Jesus' name, and you're pulling it in and you're pulling it in and you're pulling it in by faith and believing and thanking God. And then one day that kite, that thing that you're believing for, is just at the bottom of the cloud. You still can't see it, but it's right there, and you give up and you let it go. And you were that close. Keep pulling. Keep believing. Keep praising. Keep thanking God that the answer is near. Persevere. All right? We can also see perseverance in God's creation. How about this little gem? The honeybee. Honey. How many of you like honey? I had some tea. Terry made me some tea this morning with honey in it. There was honey in it. It soothes the throat. It coats your throat. It's great on biscuits, as is apple butter, but we won't go there. Think about this. To produce 1 pound of honey, the bee must visit 56,000 clover heads. So think of one clover head. He has to go to that clover head 56,000 times. Okay? But each clover head has 60 flower tubes on it. And he's going to hit every one of them. He's not going to just go to it and hit that one clover and hit one spot. It's going to go to every one of those little tubes. So each clover head has 60 flowers. That's 3,360,000 visits that are necessary to give us 1 pound of delectable honey for our breakfast table. Meanwhile, that worker bee has flown the equivalent of 3 times around the world. All the times it's going back and forth and back and forth from the hive to the clover field, hive to the clover field, hive to the clover field. And to produce 1 teaspoon or tablespoon of honey for our toast, the little bee makes 4,200 trips to flowers. He makes about 10 trips a day to the fields, each trip lasting an average of 20 minutes, going to 400 flowers. And a worker bee will fly as far as 8 miles if he cannot find the clover or the nectar flow that he needs to take back to the hive. He will go out as far as 8 miles in circumference from his hive to find that nectar. Think about that. Therefore, when you feel that persistence and perseverance is the difficult task, think of the bee, what the bee goes through, what the bee does to provide something that we enjoy. Life really isn't that tough in comparison, is it? So many times we get into what I call the mully grubs, and we start having pity parties about ourselves, when we as Americans are the most blessed people on the face of the planet. God has blessed America. In February of 1991, the week the Persian Gulf ground war started, my wife Terry and I went on a mission trip to the Central American nation of Guatemala. That's me. Gunga Scott. And Terry next to me. Terry was pregnant with Annie, our middle daughter, our second daughter, Annie. So we always tell Annie, Annie, you went to Guatemala. You just wasn't born yet. And while there, we met a lot of neat people. I've always wondered, where are those kids at now? 27 years ago, they're all grown. What are they doing? Are they alive? Do they know Jesus? Where are they at? And there we preached in a beautiful cathedral, Pastor Josue Munoz, Prince of Peace Church. It's one of the biggest churches now in all of Guatemala. And I preached there. And I also preached, as I talked about this a few weeks ago, about in a church on the city dump with it was just on the dump. The absolute poverty of humanity there, rabid dogs, open sewers in the street, an average murder rate of 1 per week while we were there in a shanty town on the city dump. And when we returned to Chicago, we flew Guatemala City to Miami to Chicago. As soon as we got out of the terminal, I went out into the parking lot with my luggage, and I found one place where there was a tree in the parking lot and a little thing of grass around it. And I got down on my knees and I kissed that grass. I kissed the dirt. I kissed the ground because I was so thankful to be back in the United States of America. God forgive us when we whine, because in America, we are so blessed. There's one more story of a great American who persevered. This is a story of a great Olympian. I wrote a newspaper story about him several years ago. He's the American speed skater Dan Jansen. How many of you remember Dan Jansen? Dan Jansen was a speed skater. He ruled the roost in speed skating. In the world championships, he won, he won, he won. In the Olympics, he lost. He lost. He lost. Time and time again. It was like he was snake bit. It's like he was cursed. It's like he was jinxed. I think a billy goat followed him around or something. But he had to really fight the agony, the pain, to win a medal in the Olympics. It took perseverance. He finished 4th in Sarajevo in 1984. And then in 1988, when he was to rule the roost, he should have swept the Olympics like Eric Heiden did back in 1980. Look up Eric Heiden, how many gold medals he won. He just won time and time and time again. He was going to rule the roost, but while he was there at the Olympics, he received the news that his sister Jane had died from leukemia. It's like a knife to the gut. And there in 1988 in Calgary, nothing. He won no medals. And then he failed to win a medal in Albertville, France in 1992. Fortunately, around that time, they used to, you know, they go 80 to 84 to 88 to 92. But then they did a little switcheroo where they said, okay, we're going to do the Winter Olympics again 2 years from now, and then the Summer Olympics 2 years after that. Because they used to do Winter Olympics in 1980, Summer Olympics in 1980. And so then it'd be 4 years until the next Olympics. But they said, we're losing a marketing opportunity here. So what they did was they went from 92, just 2 years, 94 Winter Olympics, 2 years later, and then, so it was every 4 years for a Winter Olympics, every 4 years for a Summer Olympics, but only 2 years between each Olympics. So in 94, he got another shot. Many people thought it was going to be his last shot at finally winning a medal. And he, as I said, he was the top of the ladder, and it didn't occur because of lack of effort or talent. And so in 1994 in Lillehammer, the Olympics, he was favored to win the 500 event, but once again, he was bitten by failure. He had a brief slip. You ever watch these guys? They're going around those cones and around the line there, and man, if they just slip a little bit, or if their hand touches the ice, it can cost them the hundredths or thousandths of a second that will cost them a gold medal. And he ended up finishing 8th. In the 500, where he was favored. And an agonizing 4 days passed before his last chance at Olympic gold in the 1,000. It wasn't his best event. He wasn't really favored in that. It wasn't his strongest. And all of America held its collective breath. I remember watching it. I was just kind of down on my knees in front of the TV. I was pulling for this guy. We'd followed him all these years. I loved watching the Olympics. First Olympics I remember watching, 1968. Big George Foreman, the American boxer, beating a snot out of a Soviet guy, had his blood all over his jersey, and finally Foreman was declared the winner and won the gold medal. And Big George Foreman from the George Foreman Grill. How many have one? Yeah, all right, thank you. Big George Foreman, who made more from the George Foreman Grill than he ever made from boxing. Smart man. He took a percentage. And he put on his robe, and then he pulled his robe out of his robe, these two little American flags, and he went around, and he waved the flag here, and he waved the flag over here, and he went to all four sides and waved the flag. And I remember being 4 years old watching it and saying, I like Big George Foreman. I was for him. So I've always loved the Olympics, and I'd follow it every 4 years. And so here's Dan Jansen, his last chance to win the Olympics. And he was going into the second to last turn. He swayed and nearly fell on the ice. And as the crowd gasped, Jansen finished 58 hundredths of a second ahead of his own world record pace, and he won the gold medal. He had finally struck Olympic gold. And the spontaneous celebration for nations all over the world who were pulling for Dan Jansen was amazing. It truly showed the Olympic spirit. Dan Jansen won the gold medal. Thomas Edison showed us perseverance and accomplishment. It takes perseverance to accomplish great deeds. Yet if you want to accomplish and succeed, it will take perseverance even in the face of criticism. I'm sure Edison had his share of opposition. I'm sure people are thinking, what's that nut doing? Look at him. He keeps throwing thread out the window. Burnt thread. Burnt thread over and over and over again. The naysayers and critics that scoffed at his ideas. Now, there's a time, of course, for constructive criticism. If you take that and apply that, take it to heart, learn from it, that's a good thing. It's helpful. Yet I found that many times unwarranted criticism is simply the death gargle of a non-achiever. Someone who will poke at another person and criticize and try to rip up and tear down another person is somebody who's just never done anything themselves. It's the death gargle of a non-achiever. And those that spend the majority of their time criticizing achievers are individuals that are doing very little to make others' lives a little more meaningful. Here's the bottom line, folks. Never, ever quit. So if you'll draw your attention to the screens, I have a short clip I want to show you from the movie Facing the Giants.
I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go.
Come on.
It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your
heart!
You can! You can! Five more! Five more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more!
It's gotta be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
Keep moving, keep driving till you got nothing left. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. When you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about losing. But if you keep pushing, if you keep driving, if you keep believing God, if you keep tapping into that power that God's putting inside of you by His Spirit, and you believe Him, you speak His word, you stand in faith, you will succeed. Amen. Don't quit. As I close, I want to leave you with a sense of knowing that your dreams can become reality, and you can do great things in life. Through the times of Dan Jansen's struggle to win, there were always the boo birds that said he should quit. Why even try the Olympics? Why even do it this year? You've tried it time and time and time again, and you failed. He's jinxed. Why does he keep torturing himself? Why doesn't he give up? It's faith. He can't win. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do, but I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing. We need to get God's plan. We need to move ahead. We need to follow His Spirit. We need to stay away from backbiting and gossip and backstabbing and all these types of things, and pull together as a family and move ahead in one direction, in unity, in one accord, to see God's plan fulfilled. Personally, I've always, as I said earlier, I've considered the word can't a dirty four-letter word. The Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another translation of it, I believe it's the New Living Translation, says this. It says, For I can do everything through Christ. In Greek, it means through the one who gives me strength. Who's the one? That's Jesus. He's the one. He's the only. He's our Savior, our Lord, our soon coming King. So as I conclude, I want to leave you with the inspiring words of one of my favorite poems, which bears as its title that four-letter word, that four-letter swear word as its title, can't. You ready? Can't is the worst word that's written or spoken, doing more harm here than slander and lies. On it is many a strong spirit broken, and with it many a good purpose dies. It springs from the lips of the thoughtless each morning and robs us of courage we need through the day. It rings in our ear like a timely sent warning and laughs when we falter and fall by the way. Can't is the father of feeble endeavor, the parent of terror and half-hearted work. It weakens the efforts of artisans clever and makes of the toiler an indolent shirk. It poisons the soul of the man with a vision. It stifles in infancy many a plan. It greets honest toiling with open derision and mocks at the hopes and the dreams of a man. Can't is a word none should speak without blushing. To utter it should be a symbol of shame. Ambition and courage it daily is crushing. It blights a man's purpose and shortens his aim. Despise it with all of your hatred of error. Refuse it the lodgment it seeks in your brain. Arm against it as a creature of terror, and all that you dream of you someday shall gain. Can't is the word that is foe to ambition, an enemy ambushed to shatter your will. Its prey is forever the man with a mission and bows but to courage and patience and skill. Hate it with hatred that's deep and undying. For once it is welcomed, 'twill break any man. Whatever the goal you are seeking, keep trying. And answer this demon by saying, I can. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for stirring up in our souls a vision, a dream, the plan and purpose, Father, that you have for us as our God. So, Father, I thank you that we will be, as we are entering into the fall season and people are coming back to church, I thank you, Father God, we will be busy about our Father's work. I thank you, Father God, that we will have our face set like flint, looking towards the plan and purpose you have for us as individuals, as families, as a church. So, Father God, today, I thank you that those things are burned into our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask if there's anybody here or those watching online right now, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you would like to pray to receive him, I invite you to do so right now. We're going to pray together. Or you may be here or watching online, and you'd say, Pastor, there was a time in my life when I did receive Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've kind of walked away from that commitment. You've been out doing your own thing, and you need to recommit. You want to come home to your Father's house. Well, guess what, friend? You can pray with us now, too. It'll cover you as well. Here's the good news, folks. God's not mad at you. He's waiting for you with arms outstretched, waiting for you to come home. So if you would like to pray with me right now, please do so. I invite the family here to Abiding Word. Let's all pray together, all of us. Let's lift our voice nice and loud together with those who are going to pray to recommit or receive Jesus for the first time. Let's say this right now, right out loud, all of us. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave. And he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. For it's in Jesus' name we thank you and pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look up. Awesome. Well, I'm believing that great things are happening in people's lives, in your life, those watching online as well, that God sparked a flame on the inside of you to serve him in a greater way, to grow in your relationship. That's why it's important to get into these classes that we're talking about. Get on our growth track. If you receive Jesus, then you need to get water baptized. You need to get into the seven basics. Getting a grip on the basics is starting tomorrow as well. Getting a grip on the basics of serving, etc. We have the Spanish version of getting a grip on the basics starting here soon too as well. We're excited about that. So many great things happen at Abiding Word Church, and we want you all to be a part of it. Amen? Well, this time I'm going to turn and give it over to my wife, Pastor Terry Porter. She's going to be receiving the offer.